Please be seated. It's good to see everyone out this evening. Always wonderful to come back and be with you, come back and be with brother and sister in Christ as we sing hymns and uplift and edify and build up each other as we have come together. Certainly been encouraged just as we've gone through these couple songs. I hope that everybody else has been encouraged. And hopefully we pray that we've been doing everything according to the will of God and that we've been praising His name. As we continue to be blessed to live our lives upon this earth, we have to be willing to go forth and spread the word of God. In Matthew chapter 28, as the Lord is speaking to His disciples before He ascends up into heaven, He tells them to go and make disciples. Go and baptize, as it would be in Mark 16. Go and baptize all nations. And so here is He going forth and going teaching them to teach the word of God, to stand for what is right. And as we go to Peter, it tells us there that we're to sanctify the word of God in our hearts, to be ready to give an answer, a defense for all the things that we believe in, that we're ready to go forth and teach. When people come and ask you questions about why you believe what you believe, that you're ready to stand your ground. And then when we do that, we got to be ready to truly speak it out, that we have full confidence in the word of God and that we're not afraid of sharing the word of God. In Revelation 21, and you read with me in verse 8, and I just want to read the first part of it. It says, "But the cowardly." And it starts off with the cowardly. Often we can go through, I usually go to this verse and talk about all liars because it says that instead of just some liars. But it's listing those who are going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire. And it says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving." And then it lists the other things, and they're going to be cast into that lake of fire also. Those who are not willing to stand for the word of God. As Jesus said, "He who confesses me, I will confess unto the Father. But he who denies me, I will deny before my Father also." And so therefore, we have to be willing to stand our ground. Therefore, we have to be willing to be bold. We have to boldly teach the truth. And that means, we got strong roots in the ground that when people come at us, that we're no longer tossed to and fro as the children would be. But we boldly teach the truth, that we speak up when we teach the truth because we believe in the Word of God. Because we believe in the truth. And so I want to talk about bold. And I put it up there twice just because, in our writing, we understand what bold is. You got the regular spot, but then you put it in bold and it gets bigger. It shows more. There's more to it. They're both the same size, but one's bold and one's not. Are we bold as we live our lives upon this earth? There are a lot of verses in the Word of God that just simply say bold. And so you're going to hear that word bold or boldly or boldness a lot in tonight's lesson. It's just verses that go forth and point that out. And so if you will, open your Bibles and follow along. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, and I see that I think I forgot to make that bold so that it shows more. But Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 12, looking at a couple verses here that point out where we gain our boldness, where we can be strong and confident in our faith. Ephesians 3 and in verse 12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." And so here he says, we gain boldness through Him, through Christ. We gain our confidence, our strength. We like to quote Philippians 4 and verse 13 and say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ. We can't say that in a, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's not what Paul is saying there. He's saying, "I've been persecuted, I've been tried, I've lost I've been shipwrecked, I've been beat, I've been in prison, and I can get through all these things through Christ." He boldly states his faith in our Lord and Savior. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we go through starting in verse 10, and we talk about putting on the whole armor of God. Because why? We're standing against the wiles of the devil. Because we're standing against principalities. Because we need to be able to stand strong. And so in verse 13 it says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand." What are we doing? We're standing. Doing everything you can to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication, and spirit. Being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says he puts on the armor of God. He continues to pray all the time. Why? So that he may be able to speak boldly as he ought to speak. That he may stand his ground, whether it be against those kings and priests and others, false prophets, and even some of the Jews. So that he would have confidence enough to rebuke Peter. No, again, he had to go. Peter's one of those leading apostles, one of those people that is known to others. And yet, Paul had enough confidence to rebuke Peter when he was not willing to sit down and eat with the Gentiles. That takes confidence. That takes full faith in what you believe in. When you're willing to approach someone that is looked up to in the rest of the church. We have to have boldness. Confidence. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, it kind of reads similar to what we read earlier here in Ephesians 3. In Philippians 1 and verse 14, Paul again talking about his persecution, talking about his tribulations that he goes through. And he says here, "And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident in my chains, and much more bold to speak the word without fear." Because Paul was in chains, because Paul was willing to suffer, because Paul did not forsake God in his tribulation, in his trials, it gave more confidence to the brethren, saying this must be worth fighting. It gives us more confidence when we see one who is willing to do the work and puts his works where his mouth is, right? He's willing to put his money where his mouth is. And he says, look, we have to be willing to stand our ground no matter what. And so he gets thrown into prison. He continues to write to others. He continues to sing and pray when he's in prison. And everybody sees the hard work and they get mad at those who are throwing him in prison for injustice, for not right cause. And they're ready to go and spread the word of God also. He builds them up by staying faithful in all things. Said something similar there in Ephesians 3. Going back to that, he's talking about his tribulations there also. We must boldly stand, boldly teach. We see continually through the Word of God that they were often teaching boldly. But look with me in Proverbs real quick. In Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Here it says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues." They flee when no one's there. They're scared that someone might be there. They're scared that someone might be coming. They flee when no one's there. But the righteous are bold as a lion. You're not chasing the lion off. The lion's going to stand his ground. He's going to fight for his own. He's going to fight for his territory. He's going to go out and provide and bring back food for his own. Righteous stand bold as a lion. In Acts chapter 28, if you will turn along with me to Acts, look at a couple examples as we look into the New Testament of the brethren going out and teaching. Acts 28 and in verse 31. Acts 28 and verse 31, it says, "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things with confidence, the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Teaching the Lord with confidence. Some translation, with boldness. Confident in who he is. Boldly standing for what is right. Making it known. Willing to go out and teach strangers. Spread the word of God. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. In verse 29. Acts 4 and in verse 29. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word." It says, look on their threats. See again how they are threatened. See again how they are often pursued. Let them speak with strength and boldness and confidence. Verse 30, just reading down to verse 31. It says, "By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Again, we don't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit as they did then. Here it's speaking about the earth actually trembling because of the power of God, the Holy Spirit actually coming upon them, and they had full confidence in what they were teaching. But do we have full confidence in the Bible? Do we have full confidence that this is truly the inspired Word of God, that men wrote these things as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, so therefore we're going to speak just as boldly as they did? Boldly speaking the Word of God. Confidently teaching the truth. In Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. Acts chapter 9 verse 27. It says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and when he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." So he's with them at Jerusalem, coming and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. Here, Barnabas standing up for Paul, as he has just obeyed the gospel, and now as time comes by, it seems that some time has passed before he gets through the rest of the apostles, and he gets over there, and they're questioning Paul because, well, you know, he was persecuting the churches. He was making a havoc of the church. But here he stands for him. He says, "You should have heard this man preach. He preached boldly." He didn't go up and say, "Look, I know you have a reason to doubt me, and I know you have reason to fear me and not trust me." He may approach him and say, "Look, I know what I've done in the past, but I now believe in the Word of God. I now believe that Jesus is the Son of God." He didn't hold back. He didn't hide. And he's one who knows what can come upon him if they find out who he is, if they find out where he's at, what they're willing to do, because he was the one that was doing it. Even in his writing, he would be bold in what he would write. In Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Romans 15, verse 14, it says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled all knowledge, able to also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God." Even knowing when brethren are doing well and doing good, he boldly writes to them so that they won't go off the other way. Lest they get too confident and they get big of the head, and then that's when Satan attacks them. We continue to be bold to one another. Continue to be bold in teaching the Word of God. And as we have confidence in the Lord, and we gain confidence in our teaching, there's other things that we need to be bold about. Some things that we may not be as bold as we might be when we're just teaching the Word of God. I want to look at a couple of those verses. Look at a few points. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Hebrews 13 verse 6, it says, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Do we boldly have confidence that Jesus is our helper? That he is who guides us? That he is our brother? That we are children of God. Do we fully have confidence in that? Fully believing and trusting? Do we take that leap? Sometimes we get caught up and we pray to God, not knowing what situation and what you need to do in a situation that you're dealing with in life. Whether it's sickness, whether it's money and the necessities of life and trying to make those life decisions that are hard to make, and you pray to God and you're stressing out about it.
Eventually, it comes to that time of making a choice. How much doubt do we have when we make a choice?
Or do we go into this, this is what I believe I need to do before my family, this is what I need to do in the name of God, and have confidence, boldly believing. Not that God has made you do this, not that God is forcing you to do this and overtaking your body and your choice. But confident that we've studied it and that God is there and He's listening and that you've prayed and you've prayed and He hears you. That He is our helper, that He is going to guide us. And no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, if things turn out to the worst of what we think, we have a home in heaven. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Come boldly to the throne of grace. I tell you what, that one's hard. For me, I look and I read at that. And whether it's, this is a time in which you are trying to figure out if you want to come up and be baptized, wash your sins away. Because, I mean, that's supposed to be a humbling moment because we're confessing, I have sinned. And if I don't do something about it, I'm going to hell. But we come boldly to God because we fully believe that when He says He will forgive your sins, He will forgive them. And that when He says He will add you to His kingdom, He will add you. And when He says that He will adopt you as a child of God, that He is going to take you as a child. And that Jesus said He goes to prepare a place for you. He is preparing a place for you. We have full confidence in the Word of God. So we boldly approach that throne of grace. Not that we're arrogant, not that we're proud. We have confidence that God hears our prayers when we have fallen short again and we need to beg Him for forgiveness. Boldly coming to Him. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 19. Hebrews 10 and in verse 19 it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which He has consecrated for us, through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Having boldness to enter the holiest. Again, you think about the holiest, the holy of holies, as we talk about the tabernacle, we talk about the temple of God. Go to the Old Testament, study about that. Study who could enter into it. What had to be done before anyone was allowed to go? What was going to happen to anyone if they did enter into the holiest? But now we are to be the temple of God. We are supposed to be the holiest. Holy men of God. As God washes our sins away, we come up a royal priesthood, a chosen people, separated from this world, bold to enter into the holiest. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 17. Saying, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loves us." Go back to the lesson of love a couple weeks back. God loves us, and if we fully accept that love, we accept that sacrifice of Christ, we are baptized and we wash our sins away. That means if tonight is the night that we go and face our Father the day of judgment, we boldly enter into that day of judgment because we have trust, not in that I'm a righteous person. Again, look at Paul. Paul willingly admits that he had done wrong. He says he is the chief sinners of all. But when he's talking about the end of his life, he says, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith. Now there is a crown of righteousness there waiting for me. But not for him alone. For all who accept for all who believe in our Lord and Savior. Do we have that kind of confidence in the day of judgment that if something happens to us tonight that we have a home in heaven? If not, we need to make our life right tonight. We need to make sure that it is right right now. If you need to go to God in prayer, then pray. Ask God for forgiveness. Tell Him you are going to repent of your sins, that you are not going to go back to whatever sin you have. If you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you have not obeyed the gospel and allowed the blood of Christ to wash your sins away, then do it now. Do it tonight. That way you have full confidence that you have salvation. Just in case you don't make it home. Just in case we don't wake up tomorrow morning. Let us boldly enter into that day of judgment. If you're here